Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Forbes Sports Money Podcast. Sports, money, your two favorite things. Here's your host, Anthony DeMauro.
And hello and happy Sunday to each and every one of you. I'm Anthony DeMauro, and this is the Forbes Sports Money Podcast, a little different feel. Usually you're used to hearing me air on Wednesdays, but we're switching it up this week. This is a special WrestleMania edition of Forbes Podcast. Don't worry, it's not going to be all WrestleMania talk. It's going to be pretty much a lot of WrestleMania talk. I'll throw in some Final Four, some NFL trade scenarios, and of course a little bit of the NBA, as well as answering your questions. We just put a poll up as well. Here's how we play the game. At Anthony DeMauro is my Twitter handle. At Forbes Podcast is the home of the Forbes Podcast Twitter handle. You guys submit me a question, tweet me a sports-related question, and come strong with it. Later on in the show, we'll do a segment. I will answer the questions that pique my interest, and if I do, you get an on-air shout-out, as well as me answering your question. You have plenty of time to do that. Go on over to Twitter, at Anthony DeMauro is the handle. Be sure to follow at Forbes Podcast as well to submit your questions. I'll get to as many as possible later on in the show. Give me something good to work with. If you give me a generic, boring sports question, chances are I'm going to pass right over it. And as each and every one of you know, I try to get to as many questions as humanly possible each show. And sometimes I do miss some, even if they're good. Keep playing the game, folks. Eventually I get to you. All right, so we're going to be talking about all of the latest rumors surrounding WrestleMania, recapping the WWE Hall of Fame. We're going to be talking about NFL trade scenarios that could be going down and what happened in the Final Four and how it's kind of ripping apart the reputation of Buddy Hield after a terrible performance and a blowout loss yesterday. And we're going to talk about how his draft stock has been affected by that performance. And also, we have a poll going up at Anthony DeMauro, Scottie Pippen, Bulls legend, coming out and saying that the 95-96 Chicago Bulls would sweep the Golden State Warriors of today. I'll be sharing my thoughts on that as well, but we do have a poll up at Anthony DeMauro. Vote. You have a couple options. Do you agree with it? Yes, no, or there's another option for an answer that says the Bulls would win, but they wouldn't sweep. I'll be addressing my opinions on those comments made by Scottie Pippen and reveal the poll results later on in the show. But let's get kicking off the right way, and let's start with some WWE WrestleMania 32 rumors. Now, last night it all kicked off. Sting retired. I'm going to get to that in a bit because I think there's a wrinkle to that retirement. But there's been a rumor swirling around that Bill Goldberg is the big surprise, rumored to be kicking in at WrestleMania later on today. Now, whether or not that's true, I have not been able to get confirmation one way or the other from any of my sources, so I can't comment on that one way or the other. But I do know WWE has not only one, but a couple of big surprises in store. Now, in terms of Bill Goldberg, we know he's been very, very vocal in the past about how WWE does business and how he's open for a return, but he wants the money and the storyline to be right. I think money is kind of taking the precedence for Bill Goldberg. I don't think he was very high on his only run in the WWE. He didn't really enjoy it that much. I think things will be better for him this time around, and I think it'll tie in a Hall of Fame induction as well, a well-deserved one because of what he did and how he impacted WCW and changed the pro wrestling landscape during the Monday Night Wars, Attitude Era, whatever you want to call it. But the rumor is the 49-year-old is poised. He's in great shape. I mean, the guy still looks like he can go in the ring. He's aging well. He's 49 years old. And in today's world in pro wrestling, I mean, Sting just retired. He's 56. He could, and let me tell you something, if that injury didn't kind of put a roadblock up in front of him, I think he would have wrestled a couple more matches, maybe to 57 and retired. So he was in tremendous shape. I know a lot of people weren't a big fan of his WWE run. I'm of the opposite thinking. I loved his WWE run. Pro wrestling wins and losses don't matter, folks. They really don't. So I'm not too concerned about that. But I'll talk more about Sting in a little bit later on. But in terms of Bill Goldberg, him coming back. WrestleMania every year is poison. More so the Raw following WrestleMania is where I really want to keep my eyeballs glued to, because those are where the surprises pop off. You know, the huge surprises. But I think we're going to see one tonight. And, you know, I know Bill Goldberg is the name that's being mentioned. I know Finn Balor, a call-up for him, along with Carl Anderson and Luke or Doc Gallows, whatever he's going to be referred to in WWE. You know, they were known as the Bullet Club. It's going to be known as the Balor Club now. I think their debut is more for tomorrow night on Raw. I think Samoa Joe is getting a call-up very soon, too. I think he needs the proper send-off. So he's going to be coming up to the main roster. So there is a lot of different scenarios, and I think WWE, the way they have kind of expanded WrestleMania, which was a one-day event It was just WrestleMania. That was it. Now they have – then they incorporated the Hall of Fame, and then the Hall of Fame became a big deal, what part of WrestleMania weekend. And then Monday Night Raw. They realized the viewership, the interest that carried over from the buzz surrounding WrestleMania carried over into Monday night. So they started crafting a really probably the best show of best Raw of the year is going to happen after WrestleMania. They're starting to do it after SummerSlam now. It's very exciting. But a lot of surprises come out of the post-Raw WrestleMania or post-WrestleMania Raw show. So now they have that. So they have the Hall of Fame, and now you have WrestleMania, and then the Raw following WrestleMania. And now it seems like you're going to get in this tradition of the NXT takeover happening on that Friday. So if you're a wrestling fan and you can't get enough great content, your weekend around WrestleMania is like the holidays, because it seems like Friday, and this is assuming they're going to keep this schedule of NXT takeovers happening on big event weekends like SummerSlam and like a Royal Rumble, like WrestleMania, maybe Survivor Series, but they keep that trend going. Then you're going to have Friday NXT, you're going to have Saturday Hall of Fame, you're going to have Sunday WrestleMania, and you're going to have Monday, of course, being the post-WrestleMania Raw, which is, in my opinion, like I said, the best Raw of the year. So there's a lot to be said for the type of weekend they're putting together. So with that all being said, where does Bill Goldberg fit in here? And, you know, I think he's going to be the surprise that appears tonight in some way, shape, or form. Now, there's a lot of rumors, and I've been reading the dirt sheets, and again, I can't confirm one way or the other what I think, because, my source, if you can get a source, if you're a wrestling person, and you got connections, you can get a source to talk to you during this weekend and give you anything big, kudos to you, because most of them are on lockdown as mine is. But so I wasn't able to get anything one way or the other, or even get a hint or even kind of a feel of what I'm to make of these Bill Goldberg WWE rumors. I'm seeing, I see Bleacher Report picked up the story. So I'm watching who picks up the story. There's some respected wrestling blogs out there and websites that have picked up the story as well. Whether it gains steam enough to hit the major, major news cycles, the ones that I think really tell the tale, if it's going to be a realistic possibility or not, I've yet to see that too many of them. But here's where I see him fitting in. Now, the thinking is Bill Goldberg interferes in the Hell in a Cell match between Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon. And anybody who's doing any fantasy booking, myself included. Now, I go on over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney. You can see a lot of WrestleMania articles, pro wrestling related articles, especially today. But I put an article out yesterday talking about some surprises we're going to see at WrestleMania. I listed, it's very similar to the article that I put out a couple weeks ago about the roles for superstars like The Rock, for Sting, for Shawn Michaels, where they could fit in. And now, I kind of did a little bit more fantasy booking and sensible booking, and in my opinion, from my vantage point, as to where these superstars can fit in. And it seems like a lot is surrounding the Shane McMahon Undertaker Hell in a Cell match, because it's a no disqualification match. But there's a new wrinkle added to the main event. It's a no disqualification match between Roman Reigns and the heavyweight champion Triple H, which also gives us two potential matches where a surprise run-in could happen. But one of those rumors that's tying Bill Goldberg to AEW return is that Hell in a Cell match. So it makes sense. Shane McMahon, and I said this in my article, storyline, and I think a couple of people could make sense in this match. Now, let me run through this. Bill Goldberg and Sting could interfere on the side of Shane McMahon. You may be asking, how does that fit, Anthony? Well, for storyline purposes, when the WWE acquired WCW, Shane McMahon was the one who spearheaded that acquisition and led the invasion of WCW to the WWE, which was terribly executed from a storyline perspective, but it makes sense. Bill Goldberg's WCW guy. He'll come to the defense to help thwart Vince McMahon and authority. And the same with Sting. Sting went in the Hall of Fame last night. You know, he said, oh, this isn't goodbye. This is see you later. I think that was a big wink, wink to watch WrestleMania. Something could happen. And from a storyline perspective, this makes sense. And it would also give people a little bit of closure as far as the Sting-Undertaker, you know, dream match goes. We're not going to see it, but maybe a stare down, maybe a confrontation in the ring, a WrestleMania moment that could kind of just give you a little taste of what could have been instead of being left with absolutely nothing. And to be honest, I think a lot of people will look at it this way. I think a lot of people would look at that match between Sting and The Undertaker. And I got to say, I think a lot of it has to do with just seeing them in the ring together. Because, you know, I read a lot of tweets, a lot of comments surrounding Sting and Undertaker. And everyone is kind of this consensus thinking it wouldn't be a great match, but it'd be cool to see them. So I think a lot of people would be fine with not seeing them. I mean, these guys are pushing some, you know, they're a little past their prime. Undertaker, he's not what he once was. He's not terrible. He's not embarrassing. Incredible shape is helping him. Same with Sting. They've been able to extend their career. But, you know, the hourglass is kind of running out of sand for, you know, totally running out of sand for Sting's career and running out of sand for Undertaker's career as well. So you're not going to get the high quality match to what could have been for maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when this match could have really, really been something. And I think fans and watchers, viewers recognize that. And so I think now the expectation is, as long as we see them in the ring together and give us that moment, I think a lot of people would be happy with that, myself included. Because a match, let's just face it, it wouldn't have lived up to expectations. It probably would have dudded a little bit. Because these two, you know, they have to work with somebody who can kind of carry them a little bit. They can definitely chime in and lead a match every now and then. But a Sting Undertaker moment, I think people just wanted to see that WrestleMania moment. And I'm of the thinking that's going to happen tonight. And I think that's going to happen in that match. So where does Bill Goldberg fit in? Very simple. I could see Bill Goldberg, my opinion, when Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal coming in as an entrant. That's what's great. I mean, earlier in the year, you get Royal Rumble and a lot of the buzz, a lot of the excitement, a lot of the anticipation surrounds who are going to be the surprise entrants into the Royal Rumble. If you eliminate that excitement, I think the Royal Rumble loses a lot of its buzz. But now you're going to have the Andre the Giant Battle Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. That's a perfect opportunity to kind of mimic the excitement that Royal Rumble gives produces by giving us surprise entrants. Now, I'm going to go over to WWE's website. I'm going to see if they have a list of all the entrants right now, and I think there's going to be some surprise entrants. I think there is. I think there totally is, and I think this is an opportunity for anybody returning, Bill Goldberg, to kind of come back and make an impact. That's a great scenario. Bill Goldberg comes in, wins the Memorial Battle, Andre the Giant Battle Memorial. Sorry, I'm getting this all screwed up. Then that's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. And I think it's a great storyline to get in. It's a great opportunity. He doesn't have to go in and make a huge impact and set up a feud right away. You can have him come in as a wild card, kind of sit down, make an impact on the Battle Royal, and then build from there. But that's where I see Bill Goldberg coming in. Now, as far as Sting, I think it was hard for him to retire last night. I think, though, it's opportunity more than anything. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's going to retire. You know, he teased everybody a bit because he was going around the media sessions and he was saying, hey, I want that match with The Undertaker. I think, and you know, there's always a possibility, one last match, Sting and Undertaker, that's it. You just do it, SummerSlam, you get it over with, they have the WrestleMania moment, whatever. But even if we don't get that, I think WWE would be really foolish to not have a confrontation of some sort. They don't even need to get physical. They don't even need to get physical. Have the moment. That's it. Just give the moment right there, and it's perfect. You're going to have 100,000 people packed into that arena. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Now, this is the third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, they do have a number of entrants already declared to enter. Now, Cesaro won in 2014, Big Show won in 2015, you know, Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, Adam Rose, Bo Dallas, Big Show, Kane, Tyler Breeze, Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, Fandango, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Connor, Victor, Goldust, and R-Truth. And I got to tell you, that's 16 people. That's around 16, 17 people, quick glance. That's not enough for Battle Royal. So that's leaving at least, let's say it's 20-person Battle Royal. That's at least three to four surprise entrants that haven't been announced. I think Goldberg can definitely fit into that. Maybe a return of another superstar. Maybe the Balor Club comes in right there. Maybe Samoa Joe gets the call up and comes in. That would be a great spot for him. And anybody being called up from NXT to come into the Battle Royal. I think that's a great, great, great opportunity. So what are predictions for WrestleMania? What are my predictions? What do I think? And what are the outcomes? And I'm going to tell you guys, I put a lot of thought into fantasy booking, what's realistic, what makes sense. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to do this. So I'm going to put my fantasy booking hat on. We're going to wrap our WrestleMania coverage of the show, portion of the show, with this right here, with my prediction. So I'm going to go down the match list, and I'm going to tell you who I think will win, what will be the outcome. I'm going to go bold with it, folks. I am going to go bold with it. All right, so let's start off with the kickoff show, which I got to tell you, great idea. WWE Network, now they're going to do something with the USA. I'm glad this match is on the kickoff show. I really am, because I have no interest in it. But the United States champion, Kalisto, will face Ryback. And it has nothing to do with Kalisto, who I think they're going to build as the second coming of Rey Mysterio. Awesome. I like watching him in the ring. Ryback just bores me. He just bores me. And I think this is a very boring, rushed storyline. I don't think it's deserving of the WrestleMania card, but it's on the kickoff show, so I'm not going to gripe too much. A lot of people are picking Ryback to win. I don't think that'll be the case. I think Kalisto gets a big win, sets up a long-term feud with Ryback here, so I think he's going to somehow – listen, he's the underdog, and they're going to want to book Kalisto as that underdog that always finds a way to win. It's a great storyline. It's something you can attach to his career. Very similar to Rey Mysterio. So I see Kalisto coming out of this match. Another match on the kickoff show, the Total Divas versus Bad and Blonde. Total Divas are going to win here. This is a ratings opportunity for WWE to get the coverage of E! For the Total Divas. So there's no way, in my opinion, they let the Divas lose this match. And it gets all these women on the card. Two matches for the women on the card. That's awesome. So another kickoff match. I'm excited for this one. The Usos versus the Dudley Boys. I think the Dudley Boys are going to get way more edgy. I think they're going to start losing the nostalgia feel. There might be a split in the future. I can imagine Bubba Ray going off on his own. He was a hell of a singles competitor in TNA. And he had a great run there as a heel, as a top heel. So I can see him doing the same thing in WWE if given the opportunity. So the Usos and the Dudley Boys, Usos has kind of lost their steam for me. As far as I'm concerned, I think they do need to change it up a little bit. And there's going to be a very physical match. I think there are going to be a lot of high spots. I like the chemistry between these two teams. I think the Usos are going to somehow come out on the victorious, but I'm pulling for the Dudley Boys. So gun against my head, I'm going to call the Dudley Boys in this one. Battle for Tag Team Supremacy. Why the Tag Team Championships are not on the line baffles me. But the New Day versus the League of Nations, I don't care. I don't need to see – I don't care any mix of – you can do the Freebirds rules for both teams. But the Tag Team Championships are not on the line on the biggest show of the year. Just shows you how the WWE is – you know, they rebuilt the Tag Team division, but they're kind of dropping the ball in this arena by not putting the championship on the line at the biggest show that they offer annually. The New Day is going to come out on top here. They're too popular to not go over in this match, and I think the League of Nations, great concept of a stable, they just haven't been very effective. They haven't been that menacing. They don't really, when I see them, I just see them as a collection of individual impact players as opposed to a force like the New Day. You know, collectively, they're a great force. I just see the League of Nations as a collection of individuals. So I think the New Day comes out on top in that one. The third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I want to call Bray Wyatt here. Bray Wyatt to win this if, and here's the caveat, if there is no interference from, say, a Bill Goldberg, then I think someone like Bray Wyatt comes out to win this match. So I'm going to call Bray Wyatt, with the exception if Bill Goldberg comes out and he will win. All right, here is, and they're calling this the dream match, AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. I am looking forward to this match more than any match on the card. This is going to steal the show, folks. This is going to steal the show, and it might go down as one of the better matches in WrestleMania history. I'm going to call AJ Styles in this match. Chris Jericho will put him over big time, give Styles his WrestleMania moment. This is going to be a heck of a match, folks. This is going to be a heck of a match. They're going to put on a hell of a match. They're going to steal the show, and this one might be talked about in the top five of greatest WrestleMania matches ever. I'm giving this thing a lot of pub and a lot of rub right now because I believe in this match, and these two have worked together so well that I think it's absolutely going to tear the house down. The Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Now, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler. Why is Zack Ryder in here? When's he been relevant? Seriously, Sin Cara? I mean, what? You can't find two other superstars? I mean, Sin Cara hasn't been a single competitor, impactful single competitor for a while. And Zack Ryder, really? I mean, can we make a decision with him? Stardust will be in there. Miz will be in there. I think you could have. I don't need Zack Ryder. I need Sin Cara to be in there. You could have made this very easily a five-person battle royal, a ladder match instead of seven. But they want to put some guys in there. I think you could have done better right here. I know Bray Wyatt's a little banged up. Maybe a Bray Wyatt in this. You could have done something else. You could do a call up with an NXT superstar. I know that is Zayn being that kind of person. But bottom line is that's what's going on. I think Kevin Owens retains. I don't see anybody else that really could change my mind and waver one way or the other. This is a coming out for Kevin Owens. It'll legitimize him winning this match because a lot of times when you see a ladder match or the championship, especially with multiple members, you're going to assume that the title is going to change hands. I think Kevin Owens legitimizes himself as a badass. I think Dolph Ziggler does his crazy spots. I think Stardust is really going to, I don't know, maybe he gets back to being himself, quote unquote. Cody Rhodes makes an appearance. Maybe this is the end of Stardust, but either way, I think Sami Zayn's going to shine a little bit. I think you're going to have good spots in this match. It's going to be entertaining, fast-paced, but Kevin Owens will come out on top. Another match I'm looking forward to is the Divas title triple threat match. Now, the Divas Championship being defended by Charlotte versus Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. I'm so happy to announce this. There is a big, I got confirmed this is a plan. Now, whether it gets executed tonight or tomorrow or in the next week or so remains to be seen. But the Divas Championship, the butterfly belt is gone. Thank the Lord. And the Women's Championship is coming back. And, you know, you can't sit here and say you're empowering women WWE when you're calling them divas and you're giving them nicknames and you're giving them pretty little butterfly belts and you're treating them like, you know, like they're little girls, little dolls, whatever you want to do, let them be wrestlers. And I think with these three women, they're going to put on a hell of a match. This is a contender to steal the show as well. Do not sleep on this match. I think Sasha Banks comes out on top, and the Women's Championship, which is going to look like the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, only with a white strap, I think that she ushers that in, and I think she's the perfect person to do so. The next match on the docket is Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match. My prediction, plenty of interference. I think Sting interferes on the side of Shane McMahon. I think Stone Cold Steve Austin would be a perfect candidate to run in on this match and screw over Vince McMahon one last time. Now, the Authority will have plenty of people interfering on their end. Maybe the League of Nations tries to get involved. I could see that happening. I could see anybody else wanting to help out the Authority coming out to help them out. Maybe Kane coming out, another moment with The Undertaker. Who knows? But I see plenty of run-ins, plenty of high spots here. This will be an exciting match. It won't go that long. I don't think it should go that long to be effective. I think The Undertaker comes out on top one way or the other, and he turns on Vince McMahon in the process. and aligns with Shane O'Mac. That's just what I see right here. I can't piece together a scenario where it makes sense that Shane McMahon goes over on The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I can't see it. Next match on the docket is Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar in a whole no holds barred street fight. This is all about making Dean Ambrose look like a tough guy. It has nothing to do with winning or losing. This is to legitimize him as a badass, and no better man to do that than Brock Lesnar beating the hell out of him. And Dean Ambrose still standing up. I think it's going to be the Stone Cold Steve Austin Bret Hart WrestleMania moment, where Bret Hart had I don't know if it was WrestleMania, excuse me, but Bret Hart had Steve Austin in the sharpshooter, where Steve Austin blood was running down his face and he didn't tap out. He just passed out. I think we could see a similar finish here in regards to Dean Ambrose, meaning he earns the respect of the WWE Universe as a badass and the respect of Brock Lesnar. So I see Brock Lesnar winning this and Dean Ambrose coming out looking really good from the match in the battle. Now, the most boring, once again, the WWE gives you a main event you do not want any part of with someone you don't even want to win the world championship, and that is Triple H defending the belt against Roman Reigns. Now, this is a no disqualification match. They had it on the signs. They're keeping it a little hush-hush. I think it'll be announced later on in the day that this is indeed a no disqualification match. Be that as it may, it's going to go down like this. A lot of run-ins. I think you could see Shawn Michaels coming out on the side of Triple H and The Rock making his appearance on the side of his cousin Roman Reigns, and maybe a couple other surprises too. Well, those are the two main run-ins I see, and I think this match goes down. I don't think it closes out the show. I think Hell in a Cell should close out the show, but Roman Reigns is poised to go out on top here. Triple H is in a long-term answer as champion, and to be honest with you, WWE is so desperate to get Roman Reigns over to have a huge WrestleMania moment to win the belt. This is the opportunity to do so. It won't work. It'll be rejected, but WWE has to learn it the hard way, and this is a knock on Reigns because it's not his fault. He's just not resonating with hardcore fans, and it's just bad booking by WWE. This is just makes sense. I mean, you really just no way I see Triple H coming out of WrestleMania as the champion. It, from storyline purposes, doesn't make any sense. But Triple H is going to make him look good. I know a lot of people are griping and moaning that he's the champion. I get it, but when you want to put somebody over in like Roman Reigns and you want to make him look really good, Triple H is a really the best guy to get in the ring to do that for him. A veteran, established Roman Reigns going over on him will mean a lot. So I see Roman Reigns coming out and walking out of WrestleMania as the champion. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that is my breakdown of WrestleMania. And as far as surprises are concerned, Bill Goldberg, okay, maybe that happens. I think the Balor Club debuts tomorrow night. I think some odd reason I'm just thinking Kurt Angle does something. I know he's not wrestling for a while, but maybe he comes out with Team Alpha and he comes out and he forms a new Team Angle kind of thing. So let's talk about, and you know, I'm getting a tweet right now. Someone's correcting me. It was WrestleMania 13. Dude, you know how much I have on my mind right now? You're going to knock me for not remembering it's 13, seriously. You know how many there's been? 32? I've seen them, all of them. I've been alive for most of them. The Stone Cold Bret Hart match, WrestleMania 13. Dude, I get it. You know, you're on top. Cookie for you. But no, thank you for correcting me on that, and thank you for filling in. I couldn't remember the WrestleMania it was exactly. But anyway, continuing on, let's talk some trades. Let's get in the NFL right now. Now, I saw an interesting article on NFL.com. I'm not even gonna lie about where I heard most of these trade scenarios. They make a lot of sense. Now let's start off with Muhammad Wilkerson of the Jets, who I think is very unlikely to get traded because of his contract scenario and finding proper compensation. But it seems like the only team to match up as a trade partner with the Jets seems to be the Oakland Raiders. I could see them giving a player and maybe a mid-round pick, maybe a second or a third. I agree with the NFL article on this. And I know there's going to be some scenarios over on Forbes.com/sportsmoney. So go on over there and check it out as well. But I can see Wilkerson and the Raiders matching up as a trade partner. I don't think it goes down. I don't think it goes down simply because I just don't think logistically it works. So I don't think that's going to happen. Now, one trade that is definitely going to go down is the Broncos and the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick coming over to Denver. I know the conditional, I know a mid-round pick, maybe a fourth or fifth, is going to go back to San Francisco, but the big holdup is money. It's money. It's Kaepernick's contract. They're trying to get him to restructure it. John Elway's in the war room. He's got his sleeves up. He's trying to work out a deal here to get Kaepernick, lower that cap hit. I mean, Denver's just been paying quarterbacks lately. You know, Peyton Manning, what they offered Brock Osweiler, trying to get him to land there. He ultimately went to Houston. Now you're going to inherit a contract in Colin Kaepernick. Well, regardless of how it's restructured, he's still going to be making a pretty penny over in Denver. And so I think that's the most likely trade to go on. It's going to happen, I think, before, you know, maybe this week. This is going to take a little bit more posturing financially to make it work from a numbers perspective. One interesting trade partner, kind of a trade candidate that's been popping up is Jamaal Charles from the Kansas City Chiefs. And one destination I really liked, and I got to thank this NFL.com article because I think it was spot on, was Indianapolis. I mean, they're going to be relying solely on Frank Gore, who, let's face it, getting longer in the tooth. Jamaal Charles, as beloved as he is in Kansas City, it might be time for them to turn the page on him. He's getting a little older as well. He's going to want his window of opportunity. You know, Kansas City, of course, you know, with the perennial playoff contenders. And maybe this is a time to cash out on Jamaal Charles. I mean, this is the running back is a younger man's position. And I got to say, Jamaal Charles, he would fit well in Indianapolis' system. Indianapolis would pay. I mean, this is a team that once gave up a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, folks. So they're going to pay for a running back. And, they, you know, if you want a good trade partner, that's probably the best one for Kansas City. Now, whether I believe it's likely or not that he gets traded remains to be, you know, neither here or there. It's always possible in the NFL. But if the Chiefs do trade, I think Indianapolis, I agree with this article, that Indianapolis is the perfect trade candidate. And I think one other trade that is definitely going to go down is Tampa Bay Bucks getting rid of Mike Glennon, sending him to New York to the Jets, who I don't understand why they're dragging their feet on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Way better. I mean, I just don't understand. You won with Fitzpatrick. I just don't get why they are so anti-Fitzpatrick. I mean, it's like they don't even want anything to do with them, and I don't know what's going on there, but they're going to be exploring the trade market, and Mike Glennon's been tied to him. I think that's a trade that goes down as well. Now, let's talk a little Final Four. I would be remiss going on with the show. And remember, there's still time for you to get your sports-related questions into me. At Anthony DeMauro is the Twitter handle. At Forbes Podcast is the handle to follow. I'm getting to this segment soon. Tweet me over your sports-related questions at Anthony DeMauro. I will try to get to as many as possible. We are up against it. I had to squeeze a show in Sunday morning. There's a lot of work to be done. So I got to get my WrestleMania coverage in. I had to get some other coverage in, catch up on all, you know, everything that's going down. And I just thank you to the sports gods for not scheduling big games today. you got Nova and UNC going down, but that's at 9 tonight, so that's going to be a great game to watch. I'm interested in seeing that, but a game that went down last night that has a lot of people shaking their heads is Villanova completely decimating Oklahoma, 95-51, and Buddy Hield, 9 points, 1-for-8 shooting from three-point range, 4-for-12 from the field. How does this affect his NBA stock? I mean, this is a big game, and he shrunk in it big time. Let me tell you, I don't think it affects his stock one bit. I think he's a top-five pick. The offensive game is just too good to pass over. Listen, a lot of people question LeBron James, and they still do, for many, many years about coming up in the big games, coming up big in big games. I don't think this is going to be an issue for Buddy Hield. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the turnovers, 4 turnovers. He just was off shooting. I mean, 4 turnovers, still a little high, but still, when I'm seeing somebody completely implode, I'm looking at a number of careless turnovers, a number of personal fouls. He wasn't getting 3 fouls throughout the whole night. Now, granted, they got destroyed. So it changes Oklahoma's game when you come out of the first half and you're down 42-28. But Buddy Hield, I don't think this is going to hurt him too much in the draft. I don't. I would still take him. Listen, I'm a Suns fan. I know he doesn't fit on that roster. You make him fit. I think Buddy Hield in a backcourt with Devin Booker, the heck with Brandon Knight, have him come off the bench. Trade Eric Bledsoe. That's who I want to build around. Buddy Hield. Great shooter. And this is shooter's league. Look at Golden State. The Klay Thompson, that Seth Curry. And you put that backcourt, a similar backcourt, two deadly shooters. in the NBA, and it's proven to work. It's proven to work and have success. I think Phoenix could have an opportunity, along with other teams drafting in the top five, to get a great shooter in Buddy Hield. Whether or not he goes in the top five, whether this dreadful performance, you know, if that basically takes over top billing over 25 points per game, 5.7 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game, I don't know. 17.4 points last year, 16.5 the year before, and 7.8 the year before that. So he's done 4 years of college. He's improved every single year. I look at his three-point percentage, which has skyrocketed, and his field goal percentage. It went from 41% last year to 50% this year. His three-point percentage went from 34% last year to 46% this year. Now, that is improvement, and which is why I believe this is just a glitch on the radar as far as his performance is concerned. And I don't think it's going to hurt his stock too much. He's shown that he can improve, and it's track. Listen, numbers don't lie. Stats don't lie. The ball don't lie. And Buddy Hield is going to be a stud in the NBA. And this is a non-conversation, non-topic point. I don't believe that there's any way that Buddy Hield is a failure in the NBA. I don't see it. And I don't think this is I think he's going to continue to improve. Now we're going to have a big matchup tonight. Villanova Wildcats, 34-5. Nova and UNC going down. That's going to be a huge, huge contest. And I got to DVR it. I'm going to be honest. I got to DVR it. I got to DVR this because WrestleMania is taking precedence. I'm not going to be on social media looking up anything about the Final Four until after. This is going to be a late night for me, folks, and an early day tomorrow. So, I can't complain. I got a life of watching sports. So watching sports and doing SEO, internet marketing, and social media, I can't complain. But this is going to be a long night early morning. I got all WrestleMania. Then I got to catch up on this. And thank God Game of Thrones hasn't started yet. I'm telling you, folks, thank God. Thank God. I didn't Game of Thrones isn't out yet because I couldn't handle it. I wouldn't know how to prioritize my night. I really wouldn't. The new trailer is coming out, and I'm sitting there watching and breaking down scenes every couple of minutes on what this could mean. But, it's an exciting – I love big events. WrestleMania is a huge event. I love it. I love the Final Four. Big event. UNC blowing out Syracuse. All I'm asking for in the UNC-Nova game, all I'm asking for is that we have a close contest. A close contest. That's it. That is all I want. No more blowouts. We had our fix. I think everyone agrees. We want to see a good, good match. All right. There is still time to get your questions in. I'm going to do one more segment here, and then guess what? It is all about answering your questions. So let's get to that right now. Now, we put a poll up earlier today regarding Scottie Pippen, Bulls legend, saying the 95-96 Bulls would sweep the Warriors. Sweep them. I'm going to give you my take. But the poll I put up earlier, about 40 minutes ago, you can still vote on it for the next 23 hours, according to Twitter rules. 32% of you agree that the Bulls would sweep the Warriors. 28% do not believe the Bulls would beat the Warriors. And 40% of you said the Bulls would win but would not sweep. And I am one of those people in that 40%. I believe the Chicago Bulls are a completely different team than the Golden State Warriors. I know Golden State can shoot the ball damn well. I'm putting Scottie Pippen on Steph Curry. I'm putting him on lockdown on Steph Curry. I think Michael Jordan is a matchup nightmare. There's no defensive stalwart that I see. Andre Iguodala, yeah, he has his moments, but he's long in the tooth. Who the hell is going to shut down or even contend with Michael Jordan? Then you're going to have the physicality of a Dennis Rodman who's going to get into the head. The 95-96 Bulls. Folks, this is just crazy to me that Scottie Pippen thinks they're going to sweep, but it's crazy to me that anybody would sit there and disagree with that. This is a complete team. This is a different NBA. And I don't think he's delusional. Someone just tweeted me, Scottie was a great player, but he's delusional. No, he's not, dude. This team is complete. They were defensive. They were physical. They played in a much tougher NBA. So that is the key component here. It's just different NBA. They forced to be physical. I don't see Golden State as a physical team. I see them way more as a finesse team. I know they're doing impressive things this year, and I'm not trying to take away anything from that, anything at all. Nothing. I'm not trying to take anything at all away from the Golden State Warriors. But I remember watching the Chicago Bulls and just thinking, this is another worldly team. And the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan. I'm sorry, folks. It is. You can sit there and debate LeBron. You can debate Kobe. Anybody else you want to throw in that conversation, to me, number one, clear cut, is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. So anyway, I'm going to continue here on, and let's get to your sports question. I'm really running up against time here, time restraints. I got to get going with all the sports coverage we're going to be doing today. Of course, you know, NBA, going to be talking a little bit more of that. Now, I'm going to be back on the air Wednesday. We're going to be talking a lot more. We're going to be talking a lot of baseball because it's pretty much opening day. A lot of things are going to be going on. So baseball talk coming at you Wednesday. We're going to be doing WrestleMania recap. We're all Fallout on Wednesday. We're going to be talking more NBA. Of course, NFL. I'm having an inkling that we're going to have a development in the Colin Kaepernick trade with the Broncos. I think he's going to end up in Denver. I just think it's a matter of when. And, you know, just more and more sports talk and getting you guys questions in, all that stuff. So let me try to get to as many as possible. I'm really running out of it, running out of time on this one. And I got to say, if you tweet me something, come on, some kind of question, and it's either derogatory or any of that, then I got to say this. It's not going to make the show. You guys should know that just from pretty much how I've run the show up until this point. But and if I'm going to butcher your username, I've been doing pretty good, though. No one's really called me out. No one's really going to call me out on me butchering their name too bad, so I must be doing a good job. But let's roll with it. At RamrodKey14 asks, with so many second chances being given to pro athletes for drug use, will Ray Rice ever be reinstated? That's the thing, and I don't think it's so much about holding him out for denying him a second chance. It's just that Ray Rice wasn't very good in his last year, and he's getting older, and I don't think people want the media attention headache. And I get it. It's a double standard. It's like, all right, we're going to look over the shoulder. And you made a great point here. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I got to actually really quick going back on that Bulls thing. At Bill Ritchie just tweeted me a great, great point. It would regarding the Bulls and the Golden State Warriors. It would depend on whose rules they were playing with. Great point, Bill. Thank you for tweeting that over. I forgot to add that in. You're absolutely right. It would depend. It would be a factor, but I would think that at the end of the day, the Bulls would come out on top. So sorry to switch gears on you folks, but I had to get that in there. And Ramrod Key 14, great question. It is a double standard. I get it. But Ray Rice, he didn't have a strong season. He looked like he was declining. He wasn't explosive anymore. I think it's more of a talent standpoint than anything else. I don't think there is too much of I don't know. I don't think there's too much concern or, you know, let's face it. When you have a player who's declining in talent, coming off a bad year, and then you have the drama surrounding it, I think it's like the trifecta of things. You know, it's too much to take on. And that's why I think more than anything else, Ray Rice is not getting the second chance, so to speak. He's been, and let's face it, he has been worked out by a couple. He's been looked at. A couple teams have reportedly kicked the tires on him since he's been out of the NFL. They're not seeing something there. And look at Adrian Peterson. He gets a second chance because he's still a beast. That's the reality of the situation. If you have talent, otherworldly talent, that's why Michael Vick got another chance. Is because he was in his prime, athletically superior, and the numbers didn't lie. And when he came back, he was blowing up the NFL. Adrian Peterson, when he came back, definitely still the impactful player he was. Ray Rice, I'm even sure he's still a starter anymore. I don't think he's not a starter anymore. So you're going to take the baggage on with Ray Rice for someone who may be your second at best, perhaps third string running back? No. Nobody's going to do that. If Ray Rice is coming off of an epic rushing maybe a rushing title, maybe some a hell of a season, maybe a couple votes for MVP, I could see you rolling the dice on him. But not in this scenario. Way too much to take on. Way too much to take on. All right, folks, I'm going to have to wrap this up. As you can tell, I'm trying to follow a bunch of stories that are going on right now, and there's just so much going on. You have the NFL offseason, always, always fun. You have NCAA basketball. I mean, the Final Four has just been boring. Boring, but let's face it here. Let's face it. It's still every year. Brackets are extremely fun. Extremely fun. And I did make a mistake. Tomorrow night is the Villanova-North Carolina game. It airs at 9:19 p.m. What an odd time on TBS. I was saying tonight, my apologies, I did mean tomorrow, but I'm DVRing tonight is my Phoenix Suns going against Utah Jazz. I might be the only one DVRing that game. But when you're a loyal fan, folks, that's what happens. You stick with your teams. So North Carolina going over Villanova. Now, won't be on the air for that, so I'm going to say North Carolina pulls it out. I just think they're better equipped to win. I think it's a great story what they've been able to do this year. So I'm picking North Carolina in a close one. I'll say by 4 points over Villanova. And again, that game is tomorrow night, 9:19 on TBS, Monday night. So I do apologize. I was referring to it as tonight, but I was thinking of the Suns Jazz game. I had to DVR as opposed to that. But we have that going on, of course, opening day. Baseball. We're going to cover a lot more of that in this Wednesday's Forbes podcast. That is definitely going to be reserved for more of baseball talk. And that way we'll have a couple of games under our belt, get our first initial impressions of teams as they enter the regular season. Baseball's here, folks, which means if you are the winter is almost over, winter's spring ahead, all that stuff. Spring is here, warm weather, the winter doldrums. You know, I'm from Norton, New York, so winter there just seems endless. Even when spring's here, it still feels like winter. I'm down in South Florida now, so it feels like spring and summer the entire year. I much prefer this, but for everybody who lives in similar climates like I do back in New York, who still feels like this is winter at April 3rd, 2016, it's still winter. Baseball's a great sign. The winter doldrums is coming to an end. Warm weathers of spring and summer. Warm weathers that should be spring and warm weathers of summer on the way. And most of all, summer is on the horizon, and it's just a good time to be alive, folks, and it's a great time of the year. So I'm going to roll off WrestleMania. I got to get rolling on that. I got to do some work before, you know, I have Elite Rank Media, and then I have this. And now, actually, folks, I'm rolling into the real estate business, too. So we're launching a new company, Elite Rank Realty. I'll get to that a little later. Just another hat I got to wear. It's actually going to be very interesting to dive into this, but all that stuff I gotta do that, and then planning a wedding is kind of really, really inundating. So my fiance and I are planning a wedding, so there's been a lot of that. So it's pretty nonstop, and today it's just all in one. So I gotta get rolling with this. Hence the short show. We're about 10 minutes short of what we normally go. We normally go an hour, so I'm giving you about 49, 50 minutes. But no matter what you're tuned into tonight, today, tomorrow, up until Wednesday, no matter what, enjoy all the games. Be kind to each other, and I'll catch you on the flip side. So who's a legend in this house? I mean, really? Do you think you're a legend? It's game time. Let's find out. I am a legend and legends are legendary. We are the legends and legends are legendary. It's legendary, the city is legendary. We're the overhead legends and we're legendary. You, me, us, we legendary.